Hey, detailers, have you heard about HyperClean? It's an ultra-concentrated line of cleaners. What does that mean? It means since it's not pre-mixed with water, this saves you, the detailer, in shipping costs and allows you to mix it in a 5-gallon cube at only $5 a gallon. If you're looking to bring costs down and profits up, go download the Detail Supply app. We have an exclusive coupon code for our listeners. Use DETAIL15 at checkout and save 15% on all HyperClean products. That's DETAIL15 on the Detail Supply app for 15% off all HyperClean products or at www.hypercleansaves.com. Hey, everybody, it's Alex with the Detail Solutions Podcast. So, surprise, it's not season 3 yet, but we're going to drop a little gift for you early. So, in this episode, we're going to be talking with Sheldon Kay, who's with the company that puts on MTE Orlando and MTE Las Vegas. We're going to talk to him about the cancellation of MTE, what the future looks like at MTE. And then we kind of run out of questions for Sheldon, so we let him go because he's a busy guy. And then Mr. Bruno and myself did our little thing, talk some bullshit, things to come in season 3, talking about our new advertisement. Hello, how do you guys like about that? I hope everybody likes it. They're going to pay us some money to be able to put this thing on a little bit better. So please, please go take care of our sponsorship. And then for us, I appreciate all the feedback. Jason gets a lot of feedback, which is good. He tells me about, I get some feedback, but please reach out, let me know what you think, let Jason know what you think, let us know what you think. And even better than that, click the like, the subscribe, the notification button on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, whether it's the Anchor app, Spotify, Google, iTunes, whatever. Leave us a review. 5 stars, please. Hopefully you guys like this enough. You leave a 5-star review. Write a review would be great so that other people looking for detailing stuff can kind of see what we're about, and that a lot of great detailers listen to us and appreciate us. On to the episode. Thanks for listening. What's up, everybody? We're back again for another episode of What's On Your Mind. I've got Jason Bruno as my co-host as always, and this week we've got Sheldon Kay. If you don't know who Sheldon is, he runs the MTE events, or puts on the MTE events, so we're going to talk to him. Sheldon, kind of terrible news that came out last week. Obviously, me and Bruno being Florida boys, we're pretty disappointed. We're not going to be able to do MTE. So do you want to, explain to everybody kind of what happened? I mean, I've got some questions about why it happened or whatever, but maybe just from your side of it, what ended up going on?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, we were looking probably even up until last month, things were looking pretty positive. Florida being open was a big factor. I mean, the company I work with, we produce different trade shows around the country, and we have had to cancel those as well. But I had really, really good hopes for MTE, being that it was in Florida, Orlando. The numbers in Central Florida really weren't that bad. I did a site visit out there early December-ish, like the second week, I think. And it was great. I felt safe the entire time, had no issues. Recorded some stuff out there with some other groups, and we tried to push out the safety stuff we were going to do. But I guess, you know, just after that first of the year, things, the media just started making everything look really bad. And we just started losing some of the community's faith that the event could happen or should happen.
Right.
And that's where we started running into some issues. So the last thing we want is, you know, to make people upset that we're having an event. And that's kind of what was starting to happen.
Right. Was the cancellation kind of result of lack of interest from attendees or more from the companies not wanting to take a risk or a little bit of both? A
little bit of both. So IDA came out in the end of December and said they weren't going to participate. And they're a pretty good chunk of our detailing education.
Yeah.
So that was definitely a blow there. So then we started having attendees cancel when they heard IDA wasn't going to be there. Okay. And on the other side with exhibitors, a lot of the corporate companies said, you know, we have travel bans, we're just not allowed to go. So right. Once we started pulling some of those off the show floor, some of the other smaller ones started pulling out as well. So it was really just a, you know, a cascading effect. And
right.
It really sucked, but I mean, I get it. We're going to push through it. We're going to have a great Vegas show. We're going to have a great Orlando in 22. We'll be back together soon.
Right. Was there any thoughts about trying to move it in, you know, later in the year, or is it just scheduling just wouldn't work?
Scheduling's pretty tough with this show. So, the detailers are pretty open, but on the PDR side of things, most of them chase hail, and the hail season starts right in February. So if we were to push it back, that a lot of people just couldn't go because they're traveling the world looking for hail or just the country, wherever they can find the work. So yeah, we're pretty much and you know, the Orlando show will always be kind of the end of January. And then the other window we do have is that end of August, early September, and for Vegas.
Right. What's the plan for MTE in the future? I mean, because I've been going now for about 4 years, and it seems like so far, you know, especially with the detail side of it, the PDR side's always huge, but the detail side of it seems to be getting a little bit bigger every year. Are there plans to expand it going into the future? Do you have, you know, other interests? Is it going to be something similar to SEMA down the line? I mean, maybe not as big as, you know, with all the extra stuff, but
well, yeah, remember SEMA is a car show,
right? Yeah. Yeah. No, but car, I mean, like,
it's not a expo for detailers. Just show up.
Right. No, I understand that, but I mean, like, as far as like trying to make it like definitely one of the things that everybody comes to, because, you know, so many more companies go to SEMA than they come to MTE, even though we get, you know, a lot of big ones. So that's kind of what I meant by it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, we never want to grow to the size of SEMA. That's just not the goal for Mobile Tech. We want to keep as, you know, more of a family oriented, small knit show. We right. want the focus to be on the networking that happens and not get lost in all the fancy cars and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, SEMA is a great show. We actually produced the show for like 28 years. Right. So I'm very, very familiar with it. But just when we got Mobile Tech, it was just more of the small intimate connections. And then, you know, actually getting to talk every single person that walked by your booth, if you're an exhibitor, should be, you know, a very interested person. There's no tire kickers that come to MTE.
Yeah.
So, and on the attendee side, what we really like about having the detailing and then also the PDR is you end up learning different ways to enhance your business. So we really, that's really the focus of MTE, is how can you as a detailer add other things to your business to, you know, make more money? Because at the end of the day, that's what we're all trying to do. So
right.
That could be glass repair. It could be, you know, pushing or pulling some minor dents. So there's always something to be learned.
So one question I have is, I think it might've been last year or the previous year. You guys had like detail competitions and then it never happened.
Yeah, so that's ever since I took over the show, I really want to have a detail competition. And it ends up getting political really fast, I keep finding. So we're going to have one eventually. I don't know if it's going to be Vegas this year. I'm not sure I'm trying to push the boundary in Vegas, but coming soon, I think that is the next big thing to break the detailing side open, is have some kind of competition or something guys can compete in and just get excited about.
I think that'd be awesome. I was excited for it when I first saw it, and I'm like, wow, that's awesome. So you said it was more political. You want to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, without getting into like names or anything, it's just, so if we were to just bring out some cars, we even talked about this, a bunch of guys, we'd go rent some black cars, run them through, you know, like a drive-through car wash 10 times, and then have a competition who could take the swirls out the best. But then it came down, all right, who's going to judge it? Are we going to use a meter to do this? Is it going to be subjective? How are you possibly going to be able to tell? These guys are so good, and everyone's going to take the swirl out. If not, maybe you need to go back to education day, but
right.
It came down to how could we possibly judge without people getting upset about it? And that's after talking to, you know, some experts in the community, we just couldn't find a way that we weren't going to piss people off. And that's not at all what we wanted to be about.
Right.
And if you ever come up with that, if it ever comes up to light, I would love to be involved with that. I mean, I run a brand called Paint Assassins, which is dedicated to paint correction. So I would love to be involved with that somehow.
Awesome. Yeah. And you know, so what we almost came up with, I got a bunch of like industrial sized cookie sheets and got them professionally painted, cleared and everything. So I had like 30 of them. Uh-huh. And what we're going to do is try to scratch them consistently in the same way. And then do, you know, like a, and like bad enough that you can't fix it. There's not humanly possible to fix it, but what's the best you could do on it?
Right.
So I thought that might be the better way to judge it when it's not possible to completely fix it. Right. So I still have those. I mean, it's still out there. I already bought and paid for those. So.
You know, man, I just lost it. What I was going to say is you, when you said that, it made me think back, and Bruno, I'm pretty sure you watched it. So the KXK guys did
the chicken wing challenge.
Yeah, did the chicken wing challenge a while back. And what they did was they went and found a hood at the junkyard, and then they hit it with like keys and rocks and like everything. And then their goal was to try and like cut it out, either wet sanding it or polishing it out. So when you said that made me think of that if you haven't seen the chicken wing challenge on YouTube, Sheldon, you might check it out, might give you some ideas. The KXK guys, and they raise a lot of money for doing that as well.
That was kind of what we were thinking about next. How can we make it fun, not make it, you know, as skill, still skill based, but then how can we just make it more fun? We were talking about bringing in like our staff cars. Half of my staff drives things that need so much work, and just, you know, rate them subjectively, like, well, this one started at a -10, you brought it up to a 2. I just have fun with it, is try to not make it so competitive that people get upset.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It all comes down to the people. I mean, if you're a person with an ego and let's say you lose that competition, yeah, you're going to be a little butthurt. But if people go in there with an open mind and, you know, the willingness to get better and learn, and then someone like beats you out, go up to that person, be like, hey, how'd you get there?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. But it just doesn't always happen that way. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. And it's not a perfect world.
No. Yeah. Well, didn't they, and if you guys put on SEMA, maybe you know, I remember when I first, about 5 years or whatever, left the car wash and got into doing paint correction, detailing and everything, there was all these guys that were bragging like they were the fastest whatever polisher, correcting artist or whatever, because at SEMA they would do those kind of competitions. They would like tape off a hood and then like they, you know, like a section of four, and they have four guys working on the hood at one time and put a timer on it and see who could go the fastest. I remember at the time the detailer from 3D Chemicals was the fastest that year for using 3D products to finish out the defects.
Yeah, I do remember hearing about that. Was it Auto Geek that was running that? I thought it was like an exhibitor doing it. I don't think it was actually the show.
I didn't go to that one, so I don't know. I just remember seeing it posted on Facebook all the time that guy was like the fastest whatever in the world.
I remember Mike Gill talking about it too, but he was obviously with Auto Geek quite often.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So I didn't know if that was maybe something similar to what you guys were
thinking. That's, we were definitely going to add some kind of time element just because that makes it more realistic. We don't want someone spending 3 hours trying to
right because then it would definitely be perfect.
Yeah.
or as close to it as possible. Yeah,
but yeah, that was one of the things. So make an unrealistic, like, so on these cookie sheets we're talking about, make it impossible to fix, and then also give an impossible time limit, like 15 minutes to do
right.
it.
just see how far you can get. But so I'm open to any ideas. Anyone listening, feel free to email me, Sheldon@mobiletechexpo.com. Feel free. We're always open to feedback. So
let's get a competition going for next year, guys.
For real, man. Give
Sheldon some info. Let's figure it out. And Jason can paint assassin sponsor. There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, man. I will do whatever I can to make it happen with you, man. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, that's kind of all I have, Jason. I don't have a whole bunch because I know Sheldon's probably way busier than we are.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about Vegas too. As far as the Vegas show and the Orlando show, which one, like, do you consider like the bigger show? I mean, I know Vegas always does it big.
Well, we've only had one Vegas show.
The more people go to.
Well, right now, Orlando, you know, it's going strong for 20. This was supposed to be the 21st show, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And we've only had one Vegas show. So, of course, The first one being the very first show, I don't even know if it was half the size, but the turnout was pretty good. Everyone there had a great time. The hotel is like $40 a night or something, like stupid cheap.
Wow.
So, I mean, we got a lot of Southern California people that had never been to Mobile Tech because they wouldn't travel to Orlando, just too far.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So knowing that, like on the detail side, we tried to focus some of our education more on like the eco-friendly things that's like Southern California has to deal with.
Right.
So we had some of that. Like a guy brought out this solar power trailer. He can like clean entire cars and stuff all on solar power and like without using water and all that, like really cool new age stuff. So we got a lot of new eyes on MTE, which was great. We picked up a lot of the SEMA crowd as well because they were, you know, we used to go into SEMA and
right.
When you go to SEMA, the hotel rooms, you know, $150, $200 a night. And,
oh, easily.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and really pretty cool time.
Last year. Yeah. Yeah. well, no, not last year. Year before.
Or 2 years ago. Yeah.
Because last year didn't happen. Yeah.
So do you go to SEMA at all?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I live in Vegas. So SEMA is definitely one of my go-tos every year. I always enjoy it. End up looking at cars more than anything, but.
Right.
So do you going to SEMA, do you get any ideas for MTE going there or anything?
You know, sometimes I get a lot of ideas what I don't want to do just mm-hmm. because of the scale they do things on and how you lose that personal touch a lot of times.
Right.
But I mean, SEMA's awesome. I'm not trying to knock SEMA in any way. I love SEMA. They do it upright. It's a great show. But I just the mass of humanity, you just don't make some of those personal connections that you can make at a smaller, intimate, vertical event. So
yeah, and that's true. Because when I went, again, being my first year, I kind of didn't know what to expect. I kind of had to go on a shoestring budget. So I only went for 2 days. And those 2 days, I pretty much just hung out in the detail area. So I didn't really get to experience SEMA very much, to go out and about. And you're right. There's just so many people there that it's hard to, I mean, like I was lucky enough to link up with some of the guys that I've talked with and commented on in Facebook groups and, you know, for the past couple of years. But there were still so many more that I didn't get to because it's so big. It's so busy. Everybody's all over the place. Even when you try to talk to the vendors, it's so much busier than going to, you know, MTE in Orlando. So, you know, definitely in MTE Orlando, you have that, you know, that more laid back kind of feel. And it's much easier to talk to not only the vendors, but definitely the detailers that are coming too.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I was kind of surprised, definitely this last MTE that happened, how many more detailers were at that one than the year previous and the year previous mm-hmm. and from like all over the country. I mean, when I first went to MTE my first year, I did some of the education classes and, you know, people coming from California and, you know, Mexico and South America. And I was like, holy cow. But most of those were PDR people. And then as I've got to learn more of the detailers, now I know who detailers are, so to speak. And so I'm seeing more and more and more of them as the years go on, which I think is really good. And two, like I said earlier, the detailed portion of it seems to be creeping into that PDR side, you know, whereas it seemed like it, the first year when it seemed like PDR was the whole show, and the detail stuff was in a little tent outside in the back, you know.
Yeah. Was that at the Carib? That was that
yeah, the first one I went to. Yeah, and it was so jam-packed, like you couldn't even like walk in the aisles, and I was like, man, I don't know about coming back next year. This is ridiculous. And then you guys got a little bit better facility or bigger place. And
yeah, you guys went from a hotel. This is just in the matter of 3 years from my first MTE. So from a hotel to the convention center, back to the hotel.
Yeah. So yeah, funny story about that. So we were at the Carib. That's the first year I did the show. So that's the first year. And you know, so the guy, I don't know if you know, Kevin Halewood has started this show back 21 years ago now. And just very, he's a PDR guy. So that's why it really started PDR. And then, gotcha. You know, detailing kind of came in and slowly worked its way up. But man, it was just like him and his daughter. Like, that's it. That's all. That's who did the show. So they didn't do much marketing. They didn't do that much sales. They kind of put out a form and whoever signed up.
Right.
So then he came to us, like we were still doing the SEMA show. And he came to us like, hey, we didn't know him at all. He's like, I know you guys run the SEMA show. You're a small family company. I want you to buy MTE from me. We're like, who are you? Where did, oh, all right. We can't though, because of a non-compete with SEMA. I'm like, oh, okay. So he's all bummed out, but then he didn't sell it. And then we, SEMA ended up taking their show in-house. We're a trade show group, and they decided they could do the show on their own, which like, that's fine. That's good for them.
Right.
But then we didn't have a non-compete. So we went back to Kevin and said, hey, you know, we're available. We'd love to buy this show from you. And so when we got it, you know, I have a marketing team, I have a sales team. We started selling. That's why at the Carib, like, we need more space now. And like, you can have this tent, I guess.
Yeah.
So then we, you know, being trade show people that we were, the next year, like, we have all this space. Let's go to the convention center. We can fill this place up in a couple of years. But man, did we learn quick. That's not what the community wanted. They didn't like the convention center. They didn't like being at a hotel with bars.
I was kind of bummed about that because, and I know, at least from what I saw on Facebook, it was a lot of the PDR guys that were kind of complaining that it was too far from the hotels. Like, oh, we had to take an Uber, you know, or we had to walk 10 minutes or, you know, whatever. But I actually liked it at the convention center because again, going from like, you know, fish in a sardine can to like, oh my gosh, like now I can move around and I'm not like somebody breathing on the back of my neck as I'm trying to talk to somebody. It was very, you know, nice that it was a little bit bigger, but I'll tell you what, the one last year at the Rosen, that was a good facility, I think, because it wasn't huge. But it wasn't crowded at the same time.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah. I really like the Rosen. I thought it was a nice medium that kind of pleased everybody. Right. Unfortunately, they didn't have dates for us for 21. So we were going to be at the Gaylord Palms, which was pretty much the same as the Rosen, a little bit bigger, more convention style feel. Like it didn't have carpet and stuff. So it was back to like the concrete floors.
Yeah.
Unfortunately that didn't work out. And so now we're actually looking at trying to go back to the Rosen again.
Oh, nice.
Possibly for the foreseeable future. We might have to move the education rooms up a little bit because we would end up using that space for more exhibits, but
gotcha.
I would like to get somewhere where we can just stay for a while instead of having to search for new contracts.
Yeah. That was the other thing I was just thinking about asking you is why does it seem to move every year? But yeah.
Well, it's the end of January is peak convention center for Orlando.
Yeah.
And the problem is these hotels like the Rosen or the Gaylord, they have groups like medical groups come in and stuff that are willing to spend millions and millions of dollars on parties and food and beverage and stuff. And
we're right.
Not quite mobile tech yet. So yeah. it's a little bit harder for us to secure venues and dates. That's why like we were over Super Bowl weekend, because that was kind of like the slow time for it. So,
oh, okay.
But yeah, hopefully we have some announcements soon.
Is that when it was? I didn't even pay attention that it was Super Bowl weekend. That it was Super Bowl weekend.
I don't even know when the Super Bowl is. I stopped paying attention after the Patriots didn't make the playoffs.
Exactly. You don't care anymore. Your Patriots are done. So,
I mean, this is the first year I don't know what to do with myself around this time.
Yeah, in like 20 years.
I had a good run as a fan. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no joke.
How's it with the Raiders out there? Are you a football fan, Sheldon?
I am. So I've never had a team really. I grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, then moved to Vegas. So I've never like had a home team.
kind of my dad was a Steeler fan, grew up in Pittsburgh, so I was beaten into a Steeler fan growing up. But now that the Raiders are here, I'm kind of bandwagoning, trying to get behind them.
There you go.
That makes sense. I mean, why not? They're in Vegas. They got one of the best stadiums in the NFL now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, now we have the Golden Knights, too. Knights play tonight in a couple hours, first night. So, a huge Knights fan. Been to a bunch of games. Love it. So, nice, man. Vegas is going sports strong right now. Can't be happier.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys.
I mean, it's about time, honestly.
Right? It's so crazy. It's taken this long.
Well, they had to wait till they could, legalize sports betting. And that's pretty much what happened for...
Well, it's been... we've had legal sports betting here for ages, but they were worried that we were going to cheat or something. I don't know. I'm not sure. But.
Yeah. I mean, it's run by gangsters, whatever. All right, Bruno, you got anything else?
No, sir.
I mean, I'm kind of good. I mean, I don't know how much we can talk about MTU, and I'd love to talk all night about it, but I don't know.
I mean, I'm pretty stoked to see what 2022 brings, man. Because now that it didn't happen this year, I know you guys are gonna do it pretty damn good for 2022.
Oh yeah, and then with 21 in Vegas too. I mean, in August.
Oh yeah, 21 awesome in Vegas too.
Yeah,
and that's in the summer, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's August 26th through 28th. We're going to be having a happy hour community night thing on February 5th. That's a Friday. It's when we would have been having our party at MTE in Orlando. So we're going to do like a virtual thing. I'm getting a bunch of manufacturers on board to donate a bunch of prizes. So we're going to have some raffles, have some people on.
That's
so
awesome.
I'll send you guys some details on that. But.
So there is one more other thing that maybe you can share. I heard you talk about it on with Marty on Pints and Polishing. You were talking about maybe trying to do some virtual education classes since it was canceled here. Are you guys still trying to do that, or is that in the works? Or
yep, actually I have more details now. You get more info than Marty got. Look at this.
Nice.
It's going to be our mobile education by MTE. It's going to be starting that week where Mobile Tech was supposed to be, so the week of February 4th, 5th, somewhere in there. I think it's gonna be on Thursday nights, we're gonna have a live session. So someone's gonna get on, present live. If you can make it, awesome. They'll be able to take questions and whatnot. If not, of course, it will be recorded and you can absorb it whenever you have time. Okay. But we'll be having at least one of those a week. All the manufacturers are on board to do some kind of promo. So like once or twice a week, we'll have promos for manufacturers. Like these days only, get our X amount off or whatever.
Oh, that's cool.
And then we're also going to have some pre-recorded education from the presenters as well that were supposed to be at MTE this year. So there should be about 2 months of education stuff coming out. Just we don't want to release it all at once and overwhelm everyone. So kind of trickle it out.
We want to give everybody a chance to attend it or watch it.
Yeah, exactly. We know everyone's busy. So we just want to make sure you can absorb it when you can. And
And is that something you guys will send like email notifications out to for, you know, all the people that are on the email list, or is that something that's going to be on the Facebook page or the website?
Yeah, we'll be it'll be on Facebook, YouTube. We're going to do like a simulcast there. We'll be a live stream on our website. And then, you'll probably be getting an email a week from us that has, you know, what's new this week, here's what you missed type stuff. So
and then will those be like Zoom type calls or different platform?
Similar to Zoom. It's another streaming platform that we use in-house, but pretty similar.
Just okay, cool deal.
It'll just look like a live stream type thing.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Well, glad we got a scoop on Marty.
Yeah.
We love
Marty.
Get
this till next week.
we love Marty though. He's he's actually a official sponsor of our podcast now.
Yeah.
For his business. So so that's nice. Well, I guess that's it, Bruno, unless you got any more questions to pop up.
No, sir. And I appreciate your time, Sheldon, man, for real.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. This was great and great to meet you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Bruno, if you want to stick around, we'll BS for a little bit. If not, we'll just call it quits.
No, we can BS all day.
Okay.
All right.
Well, all right, take care, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you for being on.
Yep. Have a good night.
Thank you.
You too.
All right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I'm honestly excited for Mobile Tech 2022 in Orlando. I mean, I was excited about this year, you know, also bummed that it didn't happen, but having that conversation with Sheldon and hearing his ideas on what he wants to do, especially with like that detailing contest. That is so awesome.
No, I think that's great. And you're right. I mean, I'm super bummed. I was hoping to debut the new t-shirt.
Do you have it?
No, but I mean, no.
Still get it made, dude.
I will. I mean, it'll definitely, you know, I mean, just go down to the guy and tell him what I want. He'll probably have it made in like 2 hours. So yeah, I'll probably do it anyways, just in case. If not, I'll just wait till next year.
you still planning on doing that idea we talked about?
Yeah, I mean, you think we should just tell everybody what it was? Or should we wait?
We should wait, dude. You can give a little hint. We'll just say it's a beach scene.
It is. I'll take it one
popular movie.
I'll take it one further. It's a beach volleyball scene.
See, I think that might give away a little too
no
much.
No way, hey, dude. Nope.
Are you kidding me?
Nope.
There's only one beach volleyball scene that anybody who is could really think of.
I've seen a bunch of beach volleyball scenes.
Well, I don't know what you're watching.
I mean, I don't want to say the name of the movie because then they might think that it's that movie.
Well, let them think that movie then.
I will. I'll just give you a hint. I mean, the movie I'm thinking.
I mean, honestly, I've only seen one movie with a beach volleyball scene.
I mean, I've seen a couple.
Not me, man. I guess you just watch more movies than I do.
I guess.
I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So what's going on with you, man? I saw you some PPF some shoes.
Dude, I put some PPF on some Christian Louboutins.
Dude, that's so weird because like when you sent me the picture and I'm like, all I can see is somebody busting their ass.
Well, it's not that slippery, honestly. No. I mean, like you drag your finger across it, it's you know, it's kind of tacky or whatever.
But do you think the PPF will wear faster over time?
I don't know if it'll wear faster over time. It'll definitely wear, but as long as it protects the red,
yep.
That's all the client cares about. I mean, they're like,
what was your reaction to that request?
Let me ask around and I'll get on it. I had seen it before in the Facebook groups. I couldn't remember which Facebook group it was. I couldn't remember if it was PPF or if it was ceramic coating or whatever. So dumb old me actually went to the Realm of Coatings group and said, hey guys, this is what I got. I know I've seen somebody do something with them before, just can't remember. And so everybody was like PPF, 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 PPF. One guy in the group, I forget his name, he actually commented and said, yeah, definitely do PPF, and said that his wife has multiple pairs of these shoes, so he obviously must have a huge PPF business because these shoes are like $800 to $2,000 a piece or a pair. Yeah, I know, right? So he said he does all his wife's, that's not what I wanted to do. Dignam it. Oh well.
You all right there?
Yeah, it was giving me the time limit thing and I clicked the wrong button. Whatever. So he told me to do it with PPF. He said you could throw two layers on there. He said, you know, obviously it'll wear, but it'll protect the red paint. That's what I told the client. I mean, his wife got them for Christmas. She refused to wear them out until some kind of protection could be put on them. So I put one on there. And then I posted it back in the PPF group, asking about longevity. And I got one guy said he had a client that only lasted like two nights out. And then I had another somebody else commented that they lasted like 3 months. So I guess it just depends on how often you wear the shoes and how long you wear the shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see how they go. I mean, they've got a lot of friends with those style shoes. And one of the guys in the group says he charges about $50 a pair.
Damn.
Yeah. I mean, it was like maybe 10 minutes worth of work. I mean, if I can do that, I'll start PPFing shoes all day long. It took me like 10 minutes at home. Like I didn't even have to do it at the shop. Just trace the shoe and slap it on there and bada bing, bada boom.
Sweet, man. Fucking, there's been a lot of shit going on in the industry.
Yeah.
Anything? I mean, you saw the post I did the other day. That was pretty crazy.
Which one?
About the Pain Assassin Awards.
Oh, about the awards. Yeah, people all heard about awards.
Oh, I thought it was a pretty cool thing.
I think the awards were awesome.
I mean, I know you didn't win.
Fucking bullshit, man. Need a recount. Need a recount.
Dude, I mean, Cormie probably definitely photoshopped his vote.
I'm sure he did. Listen, listen, man. If there can be something wrong with the election in Atlanta, there's definitely something going on in Louisiana, right? Because Cormie and Isaac both won.
That's right.
Come on, man. There's some fishy voodoo magic going on in Louisiana.
There's some fishiness in the bayou.
Right, right. We need to get an election committee to go over that and make sure that everything was good.
How about Trap though, man?
Trap too, man.
Listen, that dude, I mean, look.
I know.
I love Stephen Trap, man. I'm happy too. For him. You came in second.
I know. That's why I'm pissed. If I was like fifth, I'd be like, whatever, man. Could go Trap. But to be second, like, come on, man. I was the first loser.
Well, you can't look at it that way. Jesus. Damn it, dude. I was the first loser. Right? I mean, there was like 15 other losers, too.
Yeah, I know. But I don't care about the other 14.
Oh man,
dude, I'm gonna have to hire more people in India next time, man. They didn't get the votes in enough, I guess.
Bro, don't even get me started on India, man. Seriously, I mean, I dislike that country.
Oh, I don't give a shit if you like them or not like them. I mean, you pay them a bunch of money and they got people on computers just sitting there all day going vote. That's what I needed, apparently.
Well, yeah, I lost to somebody in India 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right. That's why you're all butthurt about India.
Yeah.
Well, it was rigged, so whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, it was the International Detailing Association, so I guess it makes sense to have somebody international win something.
I guess.
I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, stir up any pots here.
Well, Chris Kennedy definitely doesn't think Pain Assassins is international.
so is it the dude from Canada, Darville?
Oh, dude, is that where Darville's from? Two? Yeah,
he's from Canada. Yeah.
Okay.
Watching them two go at it is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
He said that no one gives a shit about anybody in Europe. But I mean, hearing them too, especially Chris, just gave me the idea of next year just to do an international Pain Assassin Award. I mean,
right.
I'm not trying to like single people out, but I mean, there's a lot of people overseas that have as much talent as us
definitely.
Here in the US. And the same with the female assassin. Like, I'm going to have a female assassin award. And again,
right.
I'm not trying to single anybody out, but there's badass chicks out there who do just as good as work as any other fucking guy in the industry.
Right, right. No, so, there definitely is. I mean, we've had a couple of them I've had a couple of them on the podcast.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, yeah. Jackie Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And Esme.
Mm-hmm.
And am I forgetting anybody? Pamela. Pamela.
One more. Come on, man.
Dude, who the fuck am I forgetting? I feel bad right now. I don't even want to know because I feel terrible. Who is it?
Yeah, you're going to feel terrible.
Who is it?
Megan.
Oh, fuck, Baker. Yeah, but she was with Rasheed too, so it was a dual type thing.
But still, she was the first.
Yeah, she was, and she's a badass fucking detailer too,
yep.
So.
Yeah.
Damn it. I'm sorry, Megan. If you do listen to this, I apologize. I shouldn't have forgotten about you. She's like a sister to me, man.
Exactly. That's why I said you're gonna hate yourself.
Jesus. Dude, I feel like shit.
That's good.
So you got Total Auto Solutions as a official sponsor now.
Yeah, I mean, it's under the HyperClean name.
But isn't it the same thing?
I mean, I guess HyperClean's the product.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, HyperClean's the product. And
are you gonna do that tonight?
Yes, it'll go on this one. Yeah.
Sweet, man. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. I'm hoping to have another one maybe next week. I can't tell you about it though, it's a surprise.
Bull fucking shit, dude. I'll get it out of you.
No, you won't.
Yes, I will. Dude, you're like a cupcake, bro.
Listen, man.
I'll get it out.
The only way you're gonna get it out of me is when you listen to the episode and you hear me talk about it.
How about I become a sponsor and you tell me?
You can become a sponsor, but I'm still not gonna tell you.
Oh, well.
I was sworn to secrecy. I can't say it until it happens.
Secrecy. Oh, fuck. You know what I really am excited about though? I'll switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
I'm excited for next week.
I am too. If it happens.
Oh no, it's gonna happen. It's gonna fucking happen. And I am super excited about next week, about the what's on your mind episode next week. I mean, it's like a unicorn.
Yeah.
Did you get my correlation there with your t-shirt?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to say who it is, but I mean, if anybody knows what the fuck we're talking about right now, I'm sure they all know by now,
but we'll see. I still haven't gotten a message back yet on that. It's happening for sure.
Listen, if it doesn't happen this time, it's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I know. That's fine,
I'll
dude.
I'll roast him for the rest of his life.
Listen, I'm fine with it not happening if it doesn't. I've come to terms with it.
I'm not fine with it.
Everybody knows by now.
Obviously.
Yeah.
We're going to have fucking the redheaded stepchild.
Maybe.
Dude, if he doesn't come on, dude, I swear to God, I will roast him. I will make a fucking billboard or some shit and go to Atlanta or wherever the fuck he's at and put it in front of his shop. I'm Aaron Knox, and I don't even know what I would say. Something derogatory. Definitely something derogatory. You'd have to look at it every fucking day he pulls in, and he would feel bad. Every fucking day, he probably wouldn't feel bad. He'd probably laugh.
Yeah, he probably would.
He's a fucking sick person.
He'd probably be like, yeah, those two chuckleheads.
you spent money on this.
He'd probably take selfies with it like every day.
Yeah. Oh, man. Dude, I don't know about you, but, dude, I've been getting a lot of feedback on these What's On Your Minds, man, and people love them. And I appreciate that people listen to this and
all right, we're recording again. Okay, so you were saying before we were so rudely interrupted by Zoom.
I'm very grateful and thankful for the people who reach out to me and you and give the feedback to the podcast and people who actually listen to it. It's pretty fucking awesome, man. Because I remember when you first wanted to start this, you didn't know how good it was going to turn out, and it's fucking awesome.
You know, I hope it is. I'm glad you're getting feedback because I mean, I get a little bit, but it's, you know, kind of the same people over and over again, which I'm very appreciative that they let me know that they're listening every week. And that's cool. But a lot of times I'm just kind of like, is this working? Is this not working? You know, I mean, I just kind of go off the analytics from Anchor, you know, and our average listens jumping in the past 2.5-3 weeks from like 35 average listens per episode to 55 now, shows me that we are growing at least. And I mean, and thankfully we've also got the recognition from Marty that he wants to, you know, help us out And he wants to invest in this and do a sponsorship. You know, he's even with Pints and Polishing, he's good about kind of giving back to the industry. From what I get from some of the things that I've heard from him talk about. So, you know, thanks, Marty, if you end up listening to this. We appreciate, because that's just going to help us be able to, you know, pay for a Zoom membership so we don't get cut off mid-sentence. Yo,
that's just crazy, yo. Like, seriously, what the fuck, Zoom?
Yeah, this stupid 40 minutes, man.
You know who I'd really want to have on?
Who?
Ted Ripley. If he could get the internet to work.
Get him.
Again, we have to make sure he can get the internet to work. I mean, shit. I'd probably give him a month in advance to learn how to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. You would.
A couple trials.
We still need to. And dude, I don't know. I mean, maybe we do a... since these things go for like forever, maybe we do a, you know, kind of like what we just did with Sheldon. We have somebody in, talk to them for a little bit, bounce them out, and bring somebody else in. Cause I'd like to talk with,
That'd be cool too. Kind of like I don't want to. All right. So when I think about that, I think of speed dating almost.
Kind of. Yeah. But it doesn't have to be like, well, we got you for 15 minutes and then you're out. I mean, we could do it 20 or 30 minutes at a time and
kind of schedule. That's a cool fucking idea.
Kind of schedule people, you know, cause I still want to talk with McCarthy again, because I want to talk to Michael about, if you guys don't know this, Michael actually got a job off of this podcast.
That is true.
That blew my mind. So I still want to talk to him about that. And he wants to be on the podcast again. He had a lot of fun. He's another one of those guys that's kind of like Cormie, doesn't like hearing his own voice and all this other stuff. But but he told me, he's like, I had a good time on the podcast. I would love to do it again. So I want to get him on and talk with him about, you know, landing a job, because the customer heard the podcast and found him.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. That is very interesting, because I would like to know also, like, how that customer actually came across your podcast in the first place. Right. Like, did Michael, you know, tell people about it? I mean, I'm pretty sure he probably shared it on his personal page and stuff. And
so
I encourage anybody who was on the podcast, whether if it's a What's On Your Mind or whatever, to share it on your personal page too, not to only get out the podcast name, but, you know, you never know, a customer might be listening to it too, and you could land a job.
Right. So, I mean, I did talk to Mike briefly about it, because I obviously was curious when he sent me that text message.
Yeah.
And from what it sounded like, was this guy completely just found the podcast randomly. And then, and then from the podcast, realized that Mike's in Destin, that's where he lived, and looked up Michael's shop, saw his webpage, and then went to the shop for Mike to book the job. That was kind of the gist of it that he gave me. So, I mean, I would definitely, and that's what I told him, because at the time he told the guy, he said, listen, man, I'm like 3 weeks out. And this was probably about 3 weeks ago or so. So I told Mike, I said, well, I definitely want to wait until you've got the job, have you back on, so maybe you can explain a little bit more about it.
Right.
Not only to me, but to everybody. Yeah. And then I told him I wanted my 10% cut off the job.
That's only fair.
Yeah. Apparently we lost signal at that point. He didn't hear me.
Oh, shit. So who do you have on deck for season 3? You want to share any names?
Yeah.
We don't have to go through all of them, but
we'll go through all of them in no particular order. No particular order. Episode 1, not Aaron Knox. Episode 2, not Aaron Knox. Episode 3, not Aaron Knox. Episode 4, not Aaron Knox. See where I'm going with this? We're not going to have Aaron Knox on. So I reached out to a few people. I don't have any problems in saying who they are. Let me pull up my list here, because I want to make sure that I don't forget anybody. That's the wrong season 3 guests. I am going to record this week with Marty. With Pints and Polishing. And that, so that'll be dropped Sunday like usual. That will be season 3, episode 1. And then the rest of them are in absolute no particular order. I just kind of wrote them down. I want to talk with Anthony Carrera.
Mm-hmm.
I like the work that he's been kind of putting out, and talk to him a little bit about Car Candy. I mean, you had him on the Pain Assassin hour on Pints and Polishing, and I thought that that was a good listen. So I mean, I'd like to ask him some things. Josh Broffman's another one. He's been putting out some pretty decent work over there. Mr. Cheater Pumpkin Eater, Isaac Zaleski.
Zaleski,
is that how it is?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, whatever. I'm going to say Zaleski just because you're cheater. Cheater. No. Jordan Wells, that dude.
Oh, my brother, dude. I love that guy.
Yep. I'm going to bring back Mr. Rain Albertson.
Ooh, I'm telling you right now, that motherfucker is like my spirit human.
Yeah. It was a great What's on Your Mind. So, you know, I figured bring him back in and, you know, let's do a formal interview. And then, the only girl that I've kind of got lined up right now is, Kenzie Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And she will definitely be kind of a, I don't know when, cause she's got some stuff going on, this first month or whatever. So, she'll probably definitely be more towards the latter part of the season. And then one that I'm really excited about, because this guy is probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met in this business. Mm-hmm. And it might end up being the longest episode ever because he is a talker. Mr. Brian Guy, love that dude.
Yeah.
And then the 9th and final guest, we are going international. And I didn't write it down. Let me get his name here. So he's another Scott. And he is with Kaizen Detailing in Scotland. And you know what? I don't even think I'm gonna even attempt to butcher his name. Dude, it's Rarida. Rarida. I don't know, man. It's a weird. But I actually met him on Instagram through Esme. He actually messaged me after listening to Esme's episode and told me that was a great episode. He really enjoyed it. You know, and he was kind of looking forward to listening to some more episodes. I'm hoping he did. So we've kind of messaged back and forth on Instagram a bit. And so after I got done with the Chris Kennedy episode and I was putting my list together, I reached out to him and asked him if he would want to be on it. I felt like I needed, you know, I didn't get a lot of international people in on my list for season 3, and not for any reason, just the people I wanted to talk to.
You know who would be awesome to have on?
Who?
Bernice.
Bernice is another one I think I probably will probably hit for season 4.
Yeah.
She's
awesome too. When I met her last year in MPE, like she was the nicest person.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I met her at SEMA. And I've talked to her personally a couple of times.
It was her birthday yesterday too, by the way.
Yes, it was. Happy late birthday, Bernice, if you listen, or if anybody listens that knows Bernice, and you can let her know. Season 4, I think is where we're going to start making some changes. I realized that the stay small thing might not work as for very much longer. Especially if we're getting sponsorship and sponsorship's going to want listens so that they're not paying so much per listen. So I think season 4 is still going to be a majority of the, you know, the little guys and gals, you know, the, in the trenches. But I think I will start reaching out to some of the bigger names. The detail celebrities, and maybe not necessarily the higher echelons, but you know, maybe just get back some of the guys that we've had on for the topics and, you know, maybe bring them back in for interview episodes. We do have a special episode that's going to drop next week, other than our special episode. I mean, I should say I have a special episode dropping.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So Dan Williams with Owner's Pride reached out. And so Dan Williams does the the Owner's Pride podcast. And he actually reached out to me about doing a co-podcast. Mm-hmm. So Tuesday night we recorded a co-podcast. Say that five times quick. Co-podcast. And it was a lot of fun. I didn't really know Dan or who he is or was, and apparently he's a somebody. So it was nice to kind of meet him and have him ask me questions, me ask him questions. And it was really cool. We went for about, it was only supposed to be 45 minutes to an hour. We actually went about an hour and 20. And he was talking about, you know, having to chop it up, because they tend to kind of stick to that 45 minutes to an hour. So I told him, I was like, dude, send me the whole thing, 'cause I'll play it raw and uncut on my podcast, so that way if he does cut it. But he actually messaged me and said that he doesn't think he's going to cut it on his side either. So he said he's probably going to have that ready sometime next week. He'll send me the audio so that I can drop it same time or day of, or same day or day after his or whatever, because I'll record an intro and probably an outro with it, and then slap the new advert on it. Man, I'm pumped about that advertisement. I hope,
dude, I'm still waiting for Zenware to hit me up.
Yeah, you're supposed to be on them, weren't you?
I forget his name. Forgive me, I'm horrible at names.
Yeah, they probably don't listen to us.
Anyways, yeah, they were interested in doing a podcast with me, and I was like, hell yeah, that's pretty damn cool. So I'm still waiting on them. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I do want to talk about your 10th episodes. Like, I want you to talk about the idea behind your 10th episode for each season and what you do with that episode to end your seasons. 'Cause it's awesome what you do with those 10th episodes, who you bring in, the topics you talk about.
Right.
I think the first, I really forget what the first 10th episode. Oh, it's trainings.
Yes.
You did a training episode with some names in the industry who do trainings. And then the second one you did on health and wellness, which was phenomenal, because a lot of people need to take their health and wellness pretty damn seriously, especially now.
Yeah. Yeah. So so here's how the 10th episode came about. It was pretty much early on in you know, the beginning. I mean, you know this story I told you. I mean, I had my five people. If I made it past five, then I would go another five. And it was, you know, you, me, and Noxie, you know, messaging or whatever. And you know, Knox was like, oh, you got to get big names. And I said, I don't want big names. Like, I don't want to be that podcast. And, you know, Noxie was like, well, to stay relevant in the industry, you got to get big names, you know, Jason Rose, Rennie Doyle, you know, Dylan. And, you know, he was just rattling out names. And so I kind of had to explain it to him, like, but that's not really what I'm trying to do. This is a detailing podcast, but not really a detailing podcast, so to speak, right? Like, it's not about the detailing industry. It's not about the next newest thing that's coming out. It's about the people. It's about the people in the detailing industry. And what do they do? What do they do outside of detailing? What do they do inside detailing? But he kind of got in my brain with it. So, you know, I was looking at some things about podcast seasons, right? Some people just, you know, what's a season? I just run, you know, started episode one and run forever or whatever. And some people actually do seasons. And so it seemed like the consensus on seasons was anywhere between 10, 12, maybe 15 episodes. So I thought, like, okay, well, I've got my first five. I don't know if I'll make it another five to make it 10. So I thought, like, okay, 10 will be my season ending. And then I believe I kind of pitched the idea to you. I said, you know, hey, I'm thinking about making the 10th episode being the end, making it something special, and then bringing in the big names, right? That'll be my way to bring on big names without it taking away from the focus of whatever. And again, by having a topic, bringing big names in or people who are, you know, affiliated with that topic. So again, the first one, trainings, the good, the bad, the why or the ugly or something like that. You know, bringing in Levi Gates, who does tons of training with Rag Company, bringing in David Patterson, who does tons of training with Lake Country.
Shout out to Dave Patterson, man. Shout out to him for sponsoring the Pain Correction of the Year.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Even though I didn't get anything.
Whatever. Keep going.
Yeah. and then, you know, our boy was supposed to be on there, you know, because he does a lot of trainings with KXK and CarPro and just everything else. You know, and then of course, everybody knows the story. He had an emergency come up, couldn't be on. Which was fine. I didn't want to stare at his ugly face for 40 minutes anyways. So I think, you know, the Levi and the David, the trainings ones went great. I mean, it's sitting at about 88 or 89 listens right now. I think it's third. It goes Esme, you, and then that one, for my top five. So that was kind of it. Like I realized like, okay, that's a cool thing. Like people are listening to this. So when season two came up, you remember, my original plan was mentoring. I wanted to bring on some mentors and talk about mentoring and mentorship and things of that nature. And I really don't know what made me switch. I think it was, if I had to put a finger on it, I think it was listening to Levi Gates's podcast. Yes. You know, because he talked about, you know, all his injuries, his shoulders and his elbow and his hands and his wrists and, you know, how he has to do this and take it easy. And he's, you know, certain, you know, things that he has to look for, like he can't, you know, squeeze a bottle trigger. So he's like, looks for special bottle triggers, holding a brush sometimes for long periods of time, you know, scrubbing things is hard for him. So he looks for, you know, ergonomically shaped handle brushes and whatnot. And so, you know, with that, and I think the Walt episode was pretty fresh and talking with Walt about his kidney issues from killing monster drinks and Adderalls and 5 hours and, you know, like that stuff all kind of started hitting me at the same time. And I was like, man, maybe I should do something about like health and wellness. And then Brian's been a pretty decent friend forever. And, you know, he's got the skin cancer issue. And so it kind of all fell into place. Like these are all detailers that had issues that whether they were detailing related, it's something that could happen. I mean, there's tons of mobile guys out there in the sun every day that don't pay attention. I mean, hell, many years as I worked at the car wash, and this was before, you know, this was in the old days when there weren't canopies on the front lines, you know, you know, like there are now. And so, you know, that and the abuse on your body that Levi had, and then the abuse on your body that Walt had, that I know there's tons of detailers that are just, you know, killing energy drinks because, I mean, come on, man, there's no way you go 13, 14, 15 hours working on a car without some kind of stimulant. You know, so I just thought it was a good thing. Right now, season 3, episode 10, after talking with Dan, I think I might have him on as a guest, and I'm kind of leaning towards doing something business related. Because that was one of the things that Dan was kind of talking about is there's so many detailers out there that are very successful detailers, but they're unsuccessful businessmen. They don't know how to run the business side of it. They may be the best detailer in the world or one of the best detailers in the world, but they can't run the business side. And they're like, you know, swimming in debt and, you know, whatever. So, when we started talking about that, it instantly clicked. Like, I think that's what season three.
That's a perfect. I think I like that idea, and I'm one to admit that I do consider myself a good detailer. I don't care what anybody fucking thinks. I consider myself a good detailer, but I know my weaknesses as a business owner. I'm not business savvy like a lot of people. Right. And that's why I have a partner with my shop who is more business savvy than I am. He had a business for 25 years. So he knows how to do it inside and out.
Right.
And who was I talking? I was talking to somebody earlier today about it. And they said, that's like a perfect partnership.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not saying that my partner's not a good detailer, but, you know, I'm the detail, I'm the hands-on guy, and he's the mind.
Right.
Not that I won't have any input.
Yeah, the yin and the yang of the business.
Exactly.
I mean that's just like me and Michelle. I mean, Michelle is very good with money, managing money, you know, doing accounting type stuff or whatever. So she keeps me in my place. She tells me, you know, what I can buy, what I can't buy. And a lot of times when I go to her and I say, hey, you know, I need to go to, you know, CarPro or Auto Geek or, you know, ADG or whatever and buy something, you know, sometimes she'll say, do you need it or do you want it? You know, and I'm like, well, I want it. And she's like, well, come back to me when you need it. Okay. You know, because she understands that sometimes I just want to buy shit, you know, but thankfully.
You can hear my wife. Yeah. My wife yells at me constantly. It's like, what the fuck did you buy now?
Right.
And I got to tell her, I'm like, listen,
yeah,
I'm buying this stuff not only for me, but I'm buying it for the industry.
Right.
She's like, no, it's bullshit. I said, no, it's not bullshit because I like to think that my opinion holds some kind of weight to some of these people.
Right.
Where, hey, they would ask me, how do you like this? And I say, well, I haven't tried it yet. Let me go buy it. And then that's when I get yelled at.
Right. No, I understand. I understand. But yeah, I mean, you know, so I think that might, like I said, I right now I'm leaning towards that for the end of season three. You know, we got 9 weeks for maybe something else cooler, more relevant to pop up.
Well, I'll stick with that. Just stick
with it. I'm sure it will be, because I mean, I don't think there's anything more important than you know, having good business sense.
Absolutely.
So Dan's already, we talked about that on the podcast. So Dan's already, you know, kind of in. So you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe quite possibly I reach out to the big guy.
The big guy.
You know, the guy that's in charge of all the business stuff, the big guy. You know who I'm talking about?
No, I have no fucking clue.
Mr. Doyle.
Oh, okay. That was my number one thought, honestly.
Right. I mean, that's what he does, right? I mean, he
wrote a book on it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, maybe I'll try to reach out to him and maybe get lucky.
Oh, dude. I mean,
he'll jump in.
I would reach out to Chris Woolman first.
Okay. Oh yeah, because like, yeah, he's his right hand man.
Yeah, be like, hey, want to have Rennie on the podcast?
Yeah, I'm sure Dan might have a little pull with that too.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Dan's been around the industry for quite a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know. I mean, we talked about it, but I mean, he was vice president of Opti.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's been around for a while. So he, you know, I might be able to, hey man, you know, Rennie, you get word in, see if you come on the podcast too.
You know, he might listen to the podcast, man.
Rennie, if you're listening, 9 weeks, buddy, or 10 weeks, I'd love to have you on. Talk about some business.
Talk business.
Yeah.
Cause that, I mean, dude, he's like a fucking snake in the grass, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
No, I know. But he's always watching. Yeah.
Yeah, he's always watching. Always. Like when I met him at MTE and I shook his hand.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we didn't talk 1 ounce of detailing. He was just bringing up shit about my life that I didn't even think he knew about. I was sitting there like, Jesus, man, that's pretty fucking cool. Thanks.
Yeah. You know, I've met him a few times between MTE and SEMA.
He took a picture with the belt.
Yeah, he did. You know, and every time I meet him and he, you know, he comes up and he says, hey, and I'm like, do you remember me? And he's like, yes, I do. And like, he'll mention something, you know, and I'm like, wow, like, holy cow, he knows me. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's possible he listens to this. I mean, it'd be cool, yeah. But I mean, whatever. We'll see.
Justin Lobato would be a good person to have on for business too.
Okay.
Because that dude, when I went to his shop and I saw how big it got from where it was in the beginning, I'm like, right. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's one savvy guy in business for sure. So probably reach out to him.
Okay. Yeah.
He'll probably listen to this at some point too. So Justin, 10 weeks.
Yeah, 10 weeks, Justin. We'll get you on too, hopefully. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know who else is super savvy in business, but yeah, I mean, even if it's just Dan, I mean, whatever. It doesn't have to be a huge, you know, panel.
Yeah.
I like trying to do, you know, three people. Although the first one was only two. I like trying to do three. I think it's I think it gives a lot of variety.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, that's the one episode I can be super lazy on, because I can write like four questions and I know that the average response to a question is 2 to 3 minutes. And with three people, one question alone will take 10 minutes or better. So if I've got 4 or 5 questions, there's my 40 or 50 minutes right there.
So, how much is a Zoom membership?
Oh man, it's like 12 something a month.
So, they don't do a yearly thing?
They do, but seeing as how our advertisement deal is monthly, I think I'll do it monthly because I'm not.
Yeah, but how much is it yearly?
I don't know, 12 times 12? $150 or something? Something like that.
Yeah. That's not bad.
No, it's not, but I mean, again, I love doing this podcast, everybody listening, but up until just recently of buying the microphone, which really was kind of bought with Christmas money. So it was kind of a Christmas gift for my parents, so to speak. Alex don't have no money to put in.
Yo, listen, bro.
Even $12
a month. If you're going to have these big names on here, bro, you can't be like, hey, at 45 minutes, log back on.
45, it's 40, bro. Well, no, that's where... you know, that's where the advertisement money is going to come into play. I mean, advertisement money, I think, so the idea in my head right now is the advertising money will pay the monthly membership to Zoom.
All right, check this, man.
And then
give me a fucking price for the year. I'm going to pay the year for you.
No.
And that'll be my fucking sponsorship.
All right, well, then you're getting an advertisement then.
Yeah.
You got to make up an ad and it'll run.
Pain assassins, be there or be square.
God, you're so lame. All right, I'll come up with a good ad for you, and we'll do it that way. But no, I mean the advertising money, or the advertising money. My thought is I'll pay the monthly, the $12 or whatever it is. The other thing I was thinking about is kind of nothing against Anchor, but maybe moving the podcast from Anchor to a paid hosting site, just because I can get better analytics.
Yeah.
So with paid hosting sites, the analytics will tell you how long people are actually listening to the episodes for. So like these ones that go on forever, people drowned out after an hour. I'll be like, Jason, there's no sense in us doing a 2-hour podcast if everybody's stopping at an hour.
Because I don't give a shit. I like talking to you and I like talking to people. If it lasts 2 hours, it lasts 2 hours.
Yeah, but if people aren't listening after an hour, you're just talking to me and we could do it on the phone.
Well, if somebody else is on, you know.
Well, yeah, if somebody else is on, true. But yeah, I mean, but it goes deeper into that. I mean, it'll tell you, you know, how long they're listening for. It'll tell you how many times they listen, you know, if they listen to the episode multiple times. Instead of just telling me that we have 80% listenership in the United States, it'll actually tell me like down to the cities.
Gotcha.
So those run about $10 or $15, $20 a month. So I'm thinking about maybe, I haven't decided which one yet. There's a few different ones I've kind of been looking over. But, you know, nothing against Anchor. I think Anchor's been hosting it very well. It's got us on all the platforms we need to be on, you know, iTunes and Google and Spotify and all that fun stuff. But, you know, now we got paid sponsorship and they're going to kind of want to know where their money's going to. So the better analytics side might be better. So that's some other things that the advertisement money will go to, the sponsorship money. You know, it's going to go back into the podcast some way, shape or form. You know, even if it's, you know, buying a t-shirt from you and doing a giveaway or something. You know, I appreciate you doing that. That's even though I threw you under the bus, that special giveaway, it was fun. Yeah,
that's not like a big deal to me. I mean, honestly, that is too easy.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll get some cool people to send us some stuff to give away.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. Another contest. Be like, hey, here's the key word. Aaron Knox sucks.
Yeah, he does. Because I've asked him to give me a polishing rack to give away, and he won't. Cheap ass.
I mean, dude, I had to buy my polishing rack for fucking last year.
Yeah, but you didn't ask him because you were too scared.
No, I did not ask because I knew the answer. I'm not a dummy.
I don't know. Maybe Noxie, because I know he listens. Maybe
I know he does.
I know he does. Maybe Noxie will throw us a little bag of sticks or something we can give away. Or yeah. A KXK hat, dude. That would be pretty cool.
Even has those anymore.
I'm sure he does, dude. When I went there, I
love a KXK hat.
When I went there, he had a whole sleeve of them.
Did he?
Yeah.
He didn't even get one? Wow, what a shitty friend.
I know, right? But he did give me a shirt, so... And I wear shirts.
Nothing KXK. And here's another thing. He doesn't even have anything Pain Assassins.
Yes, he does.
Except the Uwe shirt that I came out with fucking like 2 years ago that doesn't even fit his fat ass.
He also has the Let Me Tell You About My Best.
That's right. Then he doesn't even wear that either.
I know.
It better be framed at least.
Listen, my thoughts, and again, I know he's listening. Is that he sleeps in that shirt every night.
Yes. And he dreams about Alex being better than him.
Yes.
It must tear him apart inside.
I just think it's funny that I didn't even give myself that nickname. That was definitely given to me by higher ups in the industry.
What nickname?
Better than Aaron Knox.
Oh, somebody, I thought you came up with that.
No, sir. That was.
How many followers do you have on that Instagram page? If y'all haven't known that there's an Instagram page called I'm Better Than Aaron Knox, you guys need to go check it out. Follow the page. Alex needs to do a better job of putting shit on there. We have the perfect picture now to post any meme of Aaron Knox.
So I am currently sitting at 59 followers at this shitty ass Instagram page that only has 9 posts, and they were all pictures of Aaron Knox, except for one, but it's a meme that you made of a young Aaron Knox.
Oh yeah. That one was great.
Yeah, that was a good one, I'm not gonna lie.
Listen. Our goal, the goal for this month, we got to get that page 1,000 followers. So if you're listening to this podcast, go on Instagram and follow that page.
Hey, Jason, we don't even have 1,000 listeners on this podcast.
I don't give a shit.
I'd rather you tell your friends to listen to the podcast than to go follow that shitty ass page.
Well, I'll tell them to listen to this and then they'll fucking
I only made that page because you posted up and said, hey, drop your Instagram account. And I was like, I'm gonna make an Instagram account called I'm Better Than Aaron Knox, and I'm just gonna post a shitty picture of Aaron Knox on it, and that's it. And then I kept getting opportunities more and more to post shitty pictures of Aaron Knox, memes mostly. So,
like I said, we have the perfect picture now to create these memes, so we should drop one.
We do, but that is the latest meme. I don't know if you've been on the page to see it.
What, the CD cover?
No, damn it. I didn't even put the CD cover on there yet. God damn it. Oh, yeah, yeah. Wait, you know,
Rag Company one was great.
I'm sorry. I did put the CD cover on there. No, I was thinking the last one was the From the Mind of Aaron Knox. Is Alex Russell really better than me?
Yes.
Yeah, that one. No, the Rag Company was awesome.
That one was hilarious.
I actually
the flannels or whatever.
Yeah, the flannel boys. I actually commented on Levi's post and said, if you guys don't drop a rap album call yourselves the Flannel Boys, this picture is a waste. And like 15 people, I think, have laughed at it. But I don't know if people, so when I posted that up there, you don't see it. Did you see the album title? So if you actually click on the, because you have to click on the picture to drop it down, because the album title is on the bottom. So the album, so it's the Flannel Boys, and the album is No Lint on My Fibers.
Oh my God, man. That's great. That's fucking great.
Yeah, you can talk if you want to. It's just Bruno I'm talking to. And I mean, everybody who's listening. So, it's Haley again. Dude, she loves this microphone. I let her put the headphones on the other night, even like when I wasn't recording.
Yeah.
Because as long as the computer's open, like the microphone comes on, you can hear it in the headphones. So she was like doing ASMR on it.
No, I was not.
So, yes, you are. Yeah, you are. But yeah. So No Lint on My Fibers is their album title.
What was there in Noxus?
It Ain't Easy Being Red. Dude, I was going to have it be, at first I did it Ain't Easy Being Ginger, but I was like, some people might get butthurt about it. So I was like, I was thinking about what was I going to say? I forget what I was going to do something. And then I thought about the Kermit the Frog song, right? It Ain't Easy Being Green.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, dude, it ain't easy being red. So, yeah. Apparently, Wu was dying. He said that picture.
He laughs.
Apparently, Wu was. Yeah. Hang on a second. I'll read you exactly what he say. What did he say?
Oh my God, dude! You look like an old woman right now in the dark. Ugh. Dude, you look like an old woman.
Where is it? God dang it. Maybe that was in our group that he said it. I don't see it in my chat. Whatever. But yeah, apparently Wu was cracking up over that meme of his album cover. I almost want to put that on a t-shirt and then like on the back of it have like tour dates that are all canceled.
Bro.
Because he doesn't ever go anywhere.
That is fucking awesome, dude. Tour dates canceled.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, shit. That's good shit.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Yeah. Do like I don't know, January something, Chemical Guys, Garage, San Bernardino, California, canceled. I'll just put like stupid, you know, February 12th, the F11. Production Warehouse.
F11 Summit.
Yeah, F11 Summit training canceled.
Can't forget F10, the bottom coat.
I know. Now with graphene, apparently.
Oh, I know. I saw that. Shout out to Raymond Harlan.
Yeah, man.
Rotary.
Yeah. I wonder how, what's the graphene quality in that?
Dude, I don't think any other product gets fucking trolled as much as Epiphone. Seriously, man, it's great, and they're probably loving every bit of it, because not only are these people getting their name out there, people will buy it.
Well, didn't I don't know, a year or so ago,
cease and desist.
Yeah. Then they get.
I got one of those fucking letters.
You got one?
Yeah, because I was a fucking moderator in the group, and I'm like, why the fuck am I getting one?
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, this is bullshit. I was like, I had nothing to do with this. Even though there's a picture floating around Instagram of me drinking a bottle of F10.
The ungraphene version, I'm guessing, right?
Since it was graphene. Definitely the ungraphene version, trust me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, everything has graphene in it nowadays.
Yeah. So who else do you want to get on these what's on your mind deals? Who else are you thinking about?
I want somebody who will just tell it how it is. No filter. So if you listen to this and you don't have a filter and you don't give a fuck and you just tell it how it is, this is the show for you.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care. That's why I wanted to do this one, because I wanted it to be one, A, for people,
you know what,
to come one back.
I would like to have on is Tommy.
Yeah. I think Tommy would be really good.
Yeah.
I want
a close choice between him and Rain.
Yeah. You know, and I want to get Tommy on an episode, but again, I think Tommy, and he probably won't agree with it, but I think Tommy's kind of like that bigger name that, you know, I'm kind of trying to stay away from a little bit, you know, but it will probably happen.
If we have Tommy on, we have to have Vincent too, because their story is pretty much parallel to each other. They've known each other for a long time, and
right,
they grew up in the industry together.
Yeah.
So it would be a cool to have both of them on.
That's fine. Hell, man. Well, once I start paying for this membership, we ain't got to be kicked off at 40 minutes no more.
Right.
I mean, if I really wanted to, I guess I could do it like Marty and throw it on Facebook Live, but I want the listens. I don't want the watches. Because everybody will watch it on Facebook Live and they won't listen to it on the podcast. And
you'd be surprised.
I don't know, man.
You can try it one time and see how it goes. And if not, just go back to the regular format.
Maybe if I can figure it out, maybe we could do it special episode next week. If it happens.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to fucking get on his ass. He gets on my ass all the time. He gets on your ass too. He does. So fuck it. We need to get on his ass for once.
But dude, I got to give him a lot of credit, man. He took some time out the past 2 days to help me with that PPF job. So I really appreciate him.
Different. I mean, that's different.
Yeah.
The type of guy, if you really need help, he'll dedicate some time to help you out.
No, I know. And I kind of felt bad today because
listen, we're talking nice about Aaron Knox right now. I don't want to do that.
Oh, my bad. That's right. We're supposed to be talking shit about him. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll talk some shit about him. So like this asshole like had the audacity to pick up the phone when I called him today and show me how to do some PPF work. I mean, like, what a fucking asshole. Like, come on, man. Shit, bird.
He did. I will say one good thing. He did give me and you a lot of kudos, said we have a lot of good chemistry.
He does, which makes me really know that he listens at least to these episodes.
Yeah, right.
He might not listen to my episodes because he hates my voice, but I guess maybe he maybe your voice counterbalances out my voice. And
oh yeah, my Boston accent guy. Fucking have him park the car in Harvard Yard, then I'll put a quarter in the meter, then I'll go down the street to the pack and get some beer, kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yo, so.
And your car keys.
In my car keys, bro.
Car keys. Yeah. Your pants.
I was at the old shop today moving some stuff, and I'm with my partner, obviously. And I said, what do you want to do with these bureaus? And he looked at me like I was fucking nuts. He's like, what? I was like, these bureaus right here. What do you want to do with them? He goes, what the fuck's a bureau? Like the FBI? He's like, nah, man. These dressers, man. What do you want to do with these dressers? And he's like, oh, okay. It's like, yeah, man, I got to tell you. Like, we call dresses bureaus. We call dinner supper. And we call roundabouts rotaries.
I know about bureaus. I mean, I know what a bureau is. Well, Chester drawers, bureaus.
Yeah. But I guess the biggest thing is when I call a roundabout a rotary, people look at me like I'm nuts.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. There's not too many roundabouts anywhere, really. Although I take that back. One of the neighborhoods I go in has roundabouts. I'm like, why are there roundabouts? This is stupid. Stupidest thing. Like, who was like, hey, let's make a straight line, but throw some circles in it to slow some people down? Like,
I mean, I don't get the point of them either, but.
I don't either. And then they plant like trees and stuff in there. Like, just make the road straight. Plant trees on either side of it. Like, why do we
got to put a fucking street light and a stop sign?
Right. Like, why do we got to. Whatever. Stupid. And then, or like the idiot when I was going through the roundabout the other day, that was on my coming from the street on my right, so he would have had to turn right and go all the way around the roundabout right to come my way because that's where he was going. And this idiot just was like, skirt, went left as I'm coming to go my way, and I'm like, really, dude?
Like, wow.
Like, all right, I guess that's how we, you know, fuck roundabouts, man. Stupid.
All right, well, shit, we'll end this episode on fuck roundabouts.
Yeah, fuck them roundabouts. All right, damn it, now I gotta piece these two things together.
Do your magic.
Yeah, I will.
All right, brother,
it's gonna get dropped here soon, so
all right man,
have a good night. I'll talk to you later.
All right, you too. See you, later.
Oh wait, hang on. Hang on, man. Okay. You gotta do the sign off. More shine, less shade, everybody.
Bam. Wow. All right. Everybody have a good night.
Later, dude.